Good morning. My name is Jimmy Winston. I'm one of the deacons here at Village. I am grateful to be able to read the scripture this morning. This morning, our scripture is from Luke, the 4th chapter, the 38th through the 44th verse. You can find the scripture in the Pew Bibles on page 937, or you can follow along on the screens in the front and the back. After leaving the synagogue, he entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked him about her. Then he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. Immediately she got up and began to serve them. As the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various kinds of diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on each of them and cured them. Demons also came out of many, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Messiah. At daybreak, he departed and went into a deserted place. And the crowds were looking for him, and when they reached him, they wanted to prevent him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose." So he continued proclaiming the message in the synagogues of Judea. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word.
Last Monday morning, I went to the bank to deposit my paycheck. The teller asked me, "Are you on your way to work?" I said, "Well, yes, I am." I said, "Can you guess where I work?" And I pointed at the check, and he saw the church name on the top. He said, "You work at the church?" I said, "Yes." I said, "Can you guess what I do?" He said, "Are you the pastor?" I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "Well, let me ask you a question. Do you work every day?" I said, "What, you think I only work on Sundays?" He shrugged and said, "Well, what do you do the rest of the week?" I said, "A lot of things. Being a pastor is really a 24/7 job. Now, I do take a day off. Usually I take off on Thursdays. But for a pastor, the work is never done." Well, it seemed like the work was never done for Jesus. He'd gone to the synagogue on the Sabbath day in Capernaum. Now, the Sabbath was supposed to be a day of rest, but for Jesus, there was little rest. First, he taught with authority. And then he cast an evil spirit out of a man who was demon-possessed. After leaving the synagogues, Jesus went to Simon Peter's house, presumably for a little downtime. But there was little rest there either. Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever. They asked Jesus about her. Jesus stood over her and rebuked the fever, just as he had rebuked the demon in the synagogue. And just as the unclean spirit left the demon-possessed man, the fever left Simon Peter's mother-in-law. And she got up and began to serve them. Well, even then, there was little rest for Jesus. As the sun was setting, people from all over began coming. They brought with them their sick, those who had various diseases. Jesus laid hands on them and healed them all. And at his command, demons came out. And many who had been captive to unclean spirits were now free. It sounds like Jesus hardly got any rest that day. Well, the next morning at daybreak, Jesus set out for a deserted place. He needed some time away from the crowds to rest his body and to refresh his spirit. But the crowds wouldn't leave him alone. They came after him. They wanted to prevent him from leaving their town. Jesus said, I must proclaim to other places the Lord's good news. And so Jesus continued on to other places, doing the work God had sent him to do, proclaiming release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, preaching the good news to the poor, letting the oppressed go free. As I said, it seemed like for Jesus, the work was never done. There were always more lessons to teach, more sick people to heal, more demons to cast out, more good news to preach to the poor. Jesus was on a mission from God, and he would not stop until the mission was done. Yet, from time to time, Jesus left the crowds for a deserted place. When I was in seminary, they warned us about developing a Messiah complex. The professors were trying to prepare us who are studying for the ministry, because it can seem to be an overwhelming job, a job that's never done. There's always more lessons to teach, more sermons to preach, more sick people to visit, more people to reach with the good news. And the professors warned us that even though we were on a mission from God, we still had to take care of ourselves. Like Jesus, we would need to get away from the crowds to find our own deserted places. Like Jesus, we would need to rest our bodies and refresh our spirits. Being a pastor is a 24/7 job. And if we don't find quiet places, we could easily burn out. Well, the same is true for other kinds of work. We all need Sabbath time when we rest from our labors. Well, last month, Linda and I went with our friend Kathleen Rowe to Florida for some R&R. We traveled across the state, visiting friends, playing golf, otherwise relaxing. We ate dinner every night with friends who either live in Florida full-time or friends who are there for the winter. 3 nights we had dinner with Don and Norma Harris in Bradenton. It was Don Harris who called me out of seminary to be his associate pastor, and so we've been friends for over 40 years. After visiting the Harrises in Bradenton, we traveled across the state to Fort Myers to spend 3 days and 3 nights with Angela and Maury Sweeten. They are doing very well, and they'll be back with us in April. After visiting with the Sweetens for 3 days, we traveled to Winter Haven, where we had dinner with Belinda Franklin. Some of you remember Belinda. She was a member of our church, very active until a few years ago when her husband Peter died. She moved to Florida to be closer to her sister and to start a new chapter of her life there. And on our last night in Florida, we had dinner with Oris and Marcy Bullock, another retired pastor, and his wife that we'd known years ago in Maryland. It was refreshing to renew our friendship with those friends, to enjoy the weather, and yes, to play some golf. Now, Linda and Kathleen and I played 3 rounds together, and then I played another 2 rounds with Don Harris and with Maury Sweeten. Now, Florida is not exactly a deserted place, especially in the wintertime. There's snowbirds everywhere. I dare say the traffic is almost as bad in Tampa and Orlando as it is around here. But while it was not deserted, it was a time to get away and to recharge the batteries. We all need some R&R now and then. Well, Jesus needed some R&R now and then. He needed some time to get away from the crowds and the demands of his ministry. Even though he was the Messiah, Jesus did not have a Messiah complex. And even though he had come to save the world, Jesus recognized his own need to get away and recharge the batteries. If Jesus could take a break from his labors, then we can take a break from our labors too. Now, what I'm talking about is finding some balance between work and downtime. And that's a problem for many of us because many Americans are workaholics. Americans work more hours per week than workers in almost every other industrialized country except for South Korea. Most countries have a law setting the maximum number of hours in the work week. The U.S. does not. In the U.S., for full-time workers, 86% of all males and 66% of all females work more than 40 hours a week. It means most full-time workers work more than 40 hours a week. There's no federal law in the U.S. requiring paid sick days. There's no legally mandated annual leave in the United States. According to the International Labor Organization, Americans work 137 more hours per year than the Japanese, 260 more hours per year than the British, and 499 more hours per year than the French. We work a lot. The U.S. is the only country in the Americas without a paid parental leave benefit. That's according to the law. Some companies offer it, but the law does not specify a paid parental leave benefit. And so we work a lot in this country. Now, there's nothing wrong with working hard if you enjoy what you do. There's nothing wrong with work if you are doing it for the right reasons. But too much work can cause too much stress and lead to a lower quality of life. There's much more to life than work. There's spending time with family and friends and hobbies and travel and volunteering to help others. Without some balance, our lives can get out of whack. I ran across this quote from Diana Butler Bass yesterday in the newspaper. She's a church history professor. She's written 9 books. She's a student of religious sociology. And she writes, "The purpose of Lent is to spiritually rebalance our souls and to make room for what is important." The purpose of Lent is to spiritually rebalance our souls and to make room for what is important. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir and to everybody else because I'm preaching to myself. I work too much. Part of it is my calling. Part of it is I enjoy what I do. And part of it is I take on too much because when things go wrong at the church, I try to fix them, whatever it might be. After all these years, I need to learn to share the load and not take too much on myself. I need to learn to leave some things undone. And maybe that's a lesson that you need to learn too. The weather in Florida was very nice while we were there, except for the last day. A front was coming through, blowing off the Gulf of Mexico, and the wind was coming about 20 or 30 miles an hour. The forecast was for rain in the afternoon and the possibility of thunderstorms. Our flight out of Tampa did not leave until the evening, and so I had made an 11:30 tee time at the Rogers Park Golf Course in Tampa. Knowing the forecast, we arrived at the course an hour early, hoping that we could get off and start sooner. Alas, the tee sheet was full, so we would have to wait until our time. I figured we'd get at least 9 holes in before the rain came, if not the full 18. Well, we did play the front 9, and although the wind was blowing, the rain was still holding off, so we started on the back 9. The 12th hole was a par 3, about 150 yards from the tee box. The wind was blowing strong right to left. I aimed a little to the right of the flag. I hit a pure shot. The ball landed on the green. It rolled toward the pin and disappeared. I said to Kathleen, "Did that go in?" She was afraid to say it did. So I got up to the green. I didn't see the ball. I walked over the hole. And there it was, a hole in one, my first ever. I was as stunned as I was excited. I'd never gotten a hole in one before. And frankly, it was hard to keep my focus after that. I think I bogeyed the next hole, maybe the next one after that. Plus, I was worried that the rain was coming and we would not be able to finish the round. The group ahead of us was playing super slow. We had to wait on every shot. I was growing impatient. You know, I had a good round going. I had the hole in one. I really wanted to finish before the rains came, and I wanted to have that completed scorecard with a one on it. We got to the 18th hole. We're standing in the fairway waiting for the group to clear the green, and the sky opened up and it started to rain. And I looked over at Kathleen and Linda and said, "Let's get out of here." You know, we were going to the airport. I didn't want to get all drenched, get our equipment all wet before we had to pack it up and put it on the airplane. So we left and did not finish the 18th hole. We played 17 holes and had to quit. And at first, I was kind of disappointed about that. I really wanted that completed scorecard with a one on it. But that experience became kind of a parable for me. I've got the scorecard. I can show it to you if you want to come by the house. Got the one on it, but it doesn't have a final score because we didn't play the last hole. That unfinished round reminds me that our work on earth is never done until we're done. There's a lot of things in life that we're never going to completely finish. There's a lot of things we're going to leave undone. And yet, that's okay. We don't have to finish everything. We've all left things undone. But that's okay because of what Jesus has done for us. The bread and the cup remind us that on the cross, Jesus finished the work. "It is finished," he said. He finished the work on our behalf. And we are more than okay because of what Jesus has done for us. This table of the Lord is open to all fellow Christians. And although no one should partake of these emblems impenitent or without faith in Christ, we invite all who are sincerely seeking Him to receive from His table in the assurance that He who came into the world to be the Savior of all will receive you as His own.
On the night He was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when He gave it thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body, given for you. As often as you eat this bread, do this in remembrance of me." Here we pray.
Dear Lord, please pray for us as we accept these gifts in Your honor today, and watch over us in our daily lives, and pray that we can make meaning of the sermon and accept that our work is never done, but we will do our best.
Amen.
Thank you.
take and eat.
And in the same manner, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let us pray together.
Father, thank you for inviting us to your table on this holy first Sunday of Lent. We ask you to bless this cup and all who receive it in remembrance of Jesus Christ, who began his journey of sacrifice for us. Wash the poisonous pride, apathy, and materialism from our souls, and give us courage and clarity of thought to be more like him. And may we pay his love forward to love we meet. Amen.
Amen.
We begin our Lenten journey by sharing the Lord's Supper together. And we share our communion with God and our communion with each other. in the fellowship of the church. We would offer you the opportunity to make a commitment of your life to Christ. If you've never followed him as a believer in baptism, you've never professed your faith in Jesus, would do so today. We would welcome that decision, invite you to come to the front. Or maybe there's someone who's already made the commitment to Christ, but you're not a part of our church family. You'd want to unite with us by transferring your membership. We'd welcome that decision as well as we stand together and sing hymn number 573, "It Is Well With My Soul."